And for me, Durham has been a good place to live. That's probably why I've been here all this time. So, you know, it's been good for me.
Well, I guess I'll be here the rest of my life.
The black female experience in the South has never been easy. Historically, black women have had the fewest opportunities for advancement, facing double standards multiplied by sex and color. Today, we are going to discuss the particular experience of black women in the post-Civil War South. We find ourselves in Durham, North Carolina, where the black community has had a long and colorful history. Here we are in Walltown, a predominantly black community located just north of Duke University. From what we can see, it looks fairly typical of a southern community. There are people sitting out here on their porches, there are children playing in their yards. One can only imagine what this place must have been like, especially for women, 100 years ago. Black women in Durham had few options for education after the Civil War. There was a school for colored children in the area, but few women were able to advance their education beyond a very basic level. A mere 15.2% of black females above the age of 21 were literate in North Carolina in 1880. A few higher institutions permitting black female involvement often limited their curriculum to what was deemed appropriate for their gender and race. This included greater focus on personal hygiene, personality adjustment, planning and budgeting, getting along with others, and etiquette. Lifelong Durham resident Gwen Phillips gave me her perspective on the cultural restraints keeping women from gaining a true education.
A lot of black women probably did not have a choice. They had to survive. But as far as had they not been limited, the sky could have been the limit. I think it was a part of their environment that limited them to doing those things. Black women are just as smart as the rest of the world, but if you have to choose between surviving, doing some things to survive, what you're going to do, and feeding your children, you're going to do what you have to do to survive.
And survive they did. Indeed, the sky was the limit for black women, even in the days of rampant racial and gender discrimination following the Civil War. One exceptional example is the story of Durham resident Fanny Rosser. Ms. Rosser was born before the turn of the 20th century, but records show that by the early 1900s, she already owned property in Durham as well as Lynchburg, Virginia. She is one of the few black women known to have owned property during this time. Most notable of Ms. Rosser, however, is the way she used her extraordinary resources. Records of financial transactions show that Ms. Rosser frequently lent money to friends and family to help pay off long-standing debt. She also funded community projects and sponsored students who couldn't afford educational costs. Ms. Rosser's commitment to her community is illustrative of the type of support that Gwen Phillips also experienced growing up in Durham.
When I was growing up in our neighborhood, everybody's child was everybody's child, you know. That house, we treated them like they were our parents, and they looked after us, you know. So, our friends, you know, we were close-knit.
The story of the black female in the New South is one of both hardship and perseverance. These women lived through one of the most difficult periods in U.S. history, and yet managed to pave the way for the daughters of future generations, like Gwen Phillips. They devoted their lives to the success of their children, so the black women today might have a better chance at equality. Many thanks to Ms. Phillips for her stories, which helped illustrate the biographies of her ancestors of nearly 100 years ago. We will close with a quote from one of these biographies, which perhaps best sums up the attitude of Southern black women, both then and now. "Considering the limited advantages offered me, I have made the best use of my time, and what few talents the Lord has bestowed on me, I have not hidden in a napkin, but used them for His glory and to benefit those for whom I live. And what better can we do than to live for others? Oh.